pray, God, Heavenly Father, we just come to a point in our lives sometimes where we just come right after something very significant. And boy, I love that song. Love how it reminds us about our freedom, the liberty that we have through faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, may that theme continue as we celebrate this service, as we celebrate your word, as we celebrate all that you are in our lives. So we thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You know, there's a relational myth that we can sometimes fall prey to. It's a relational myth that, you know, if you ever know somebody who's going from relationship to relationship, someone that's going from marriage to marriage, someone that's going from even job to job, and if you sit down with them and you listen carefully, you're going to hear the likelihood of that myth probably rising to the forefront. That myth also exists in the church. It's a myth that, you know, can cause you to see your relationships in a very distorted way. It's the myth of somewhere out there is the right one, the right church, the right person. And it's the myth of the right. And what the myth kind of propels us towards is this idea that the right whatever is something to be found, not something that we build. How many have gone from church to church looking for the right church or the right relationship? That's not to take away from difficulties, toxic relationships, things like that. But isn't it true that community, especially in a church, isn't something that we find? Community often is something that we build, and that we all contribute to that. And the myth of trying to find the right is, you know, forces us to chase things that often are right in front of us, that if we work at it just a little bit, in fact, isn't that part of the other side of the myth? If we have to work at this in any way, shape, or form, if we have to kind of, you know, put some energy into it, maybe something's wrong. Or if I have to, you know, put a little bit more work or effort, you know, in my job, maybe it's not the right job. Or maybe if the marriage has got a little bit of work to do in this area, isn't that the first tendency that we go to or think, is that maybe something is wrong with the marriage? Now, again, that's not to discount the toxic situations or just bad fits and all that kind of stuff. But isn't our tendency in our culture right away is to say, I'm looking for the right whatever, and if I have to work at it, it must not be right. So today, you know, we're talking about this elusive thing called community, and we're looking at the second part of our vision statement as we're going through this series of We Are the Church. Because community is one of those things that many people talk about in the church. But the tendency is to believe the myth that it's something that we need to find, not necessarily it's something that we become a part of, something that we become, something that we build into. And as you know, part of our vision statement is the second thing is to become something when you're part of the community. And one of the best ways to become something in community is to serve. We're talking about this difficult component called service in the church and serving in the church. And, you know, this is the second part of our vision statement. I'm not going to read the passage because we're going to actually focus in on that passage in a few minutes. But we want to become a community where people serve and thrive, not just serve and it becomes a form of slavery. We're talking about people thriving in their giftedness, people who want to connect in ways that makes a difference in our community. And you know, I've joked many times through this series that we have a vision statement and a mission statement that are very difficult. Okay? It would have been very easy for us to say, we want you to serve, and here's all the reasons why we want you to serve. But that's a cop-out to me. We want you to thrive in your growth. We want you to thrive as you serve in church. We want it to be something that is very meaningful for you. And not only that, but meaningful for the people that you serve alongside of. That it makes a difference in your life. There's a number of things about serving that are vitally important and vitally critical when it comes to the biblical picture. You know, we're talking about discipleship. Like, you know, when you serve one another, we all grow together. We learn what discipleship is all about. You know, serving, identifying servant leaders. Leadership in the church is nothing more than love in action. Servant leadership in the church is nothing more than love in action. You know, we think that because we have the authority, we have the power. I don't want to get into all the distinctions, but power and authority are very different. You can have the authority, doesn't necessarily mean you have to exercise power in that authority. And sometimes when you exercise power, that's when authority becomes very dangerous. Okay? Those two are often need to be separate. And in the Bible, they're very separate, okay? And growing Jesus followers and, of course, memberships. One of the things that we're going to be celebrating today is membership. But I want to look really quickly at a passage this morning. It talks about serving out of 1 Peter. And Peter starts in chapter 4, verse 10, and he says this, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Now stop right here. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ in this building, in this room, right here, right now, each one of you is a gift, has a gift, at least one gift. Each one of you has a spiritual gift that has been given to you by the Spirit of God when you became a believer in Jesus Christ. Like, that's powerful. None of you are ungifted in any way, shape, or form. You all have something to give. You all have something to contribute. You all have something very powerful that makes this the community and builds the community in a way that blesses other people and actually blesses God as well. Everyone. There's so many people I run into that say, I have nothing to give to the church. Never want to hear you say that. Hear all the time, you know, that I don't have the particular gifts, or I'm not a platform person, or you know, it's all the things that I am not. But there isn't a single person in here who isn't a believer in Jesus Christ that doesn't have a gift that's been given to you by the Spirit of God. A gift to bless the very people that you're sitting around. That's powerful. That is powerful. And you may think it's insignificant, but I can't tell you the gift that we often see as insignificant are actually the gifts that help propel people in their lives with Jesus. Okay? One gift, if you have a person like this in your life, is the gift of encouragement. People who encourage have a powerful gift. And I love having people of encouragement around me because, frankly, I need a lot of encouragement. Okay? Who doesn't? Exactly. Okay? But I don't know if you have people in your life, they just get in the room, they look you in the face, and they just have a way of saying something that makes you 3 feet off the ground the minute they say it. Do you have anybody like that in your life? what a difference it makes. Okay? They're often the first people to say, "Ah, I'm not doing anything." And yet, we know the power of a simple encouragement can take someone who's discouraged, someone who feels like, "I don't want to go on any longer. There's no reason for me to keep going. I can't do this anymore." All the things that we say, often it just takes one of those people to come alongside, give you a little nudge, encourage you, and suddenly you're conquering monsters. This powerful gift of encouragement. Look what Peter says next about it. Use them well to serve one another. Use them well to serve one another. The gift that you're given isn't for your benefit. In fact, if you kind of hide it and keep it to yourself and think this is mine, all right, it's just going to wither. It's going to die. It's going to be put on the shelf. The real value of the gift is when you use it for someone else and for someone else's, you know, privilege, okay? That's the nature of spiritual gifts, because God knows that we need people around us because we can't do it all ourselves. We need people around us. That's the power of that. So use them to serve one another. Here's the last part of the passage. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So here is the great encouragement that comes out of Peter. And let me give you just a few points here from this passage about serving that are part of your notes and part of your life group material. But here's the first thing I want to say out of that passage. Serving is the surgery that God performs on our hearts to help us become like Jesus. That's a true statement. You are not going to build your life as like the person of Jesus if you're not serving. You're just not. You're going to become isolated. There's things that are going to happen. And, you know, I know there's things like burnout and that, and people have to pause for a while. That's okay. Or there's, you know, significant things going on in life, and you have to stop for a while. That's absolutely okay. We're not talking about running you to the end so much that you're done. That's not what we're talking about here. But if you're serving in your gift, a lot of times it's easy for you. It's natural, okay? Or supernatural is what I mean to say. But that's the surgery that God performs on our hearts to become more like Christ. The second thing, serving others as Christ modeled dismantles our tendency for power. See, when we're serving other people and we're doing it out of love and we're doing it out of humility, it kind of takes the power, you know, platform away, doesn't it? Jesus came to serve and to become a ransom for many. That's a beautiful model of how we should be to one another. Here's the third thing. I know I'm going really fast, but we are called to make a difference, and serving puts God's glory on display for all to see. Part of the reason that we serve and we serve one another is that people see Jesus. People see God through us. People see Jesus, you know, through the church as it serves its community. It's a powerful picture. Because when we become the hands and feet of Jesus, Jesus, you know, manifests himself in our presence, okay? Number four, serving equips us for the mission. There's one thing that if we're not careful, we become very insular. We become very all about self-absorbed us, and it's all about how we grow. You know, I've said many, many times, the best definition of a disciple of Jesus Christ is being conformed in the image of Jesus, is normally what we hear. The additional phrase to that is for the sake of others. Very, very important. We can become so self-absorbed in our growth that we forget that Jesus is shaping us as people so that we can serve one another and be the hands and feet of Jesus to someone else. Okay, last one. Where we sow is where we grow. Where we sow is where we grow. Where we invest is where we make our money, right? Where we sow is where we grow. All right. Now, we talked really quickly about serving. Here's the last thing I want to basically say about this, that the church has a dilemma in the culture that it lives in. And here's the church's dilemma. As life continues to become busier, more complex, and more demanding, it affects people's ability to serve. There's no doubt about that. Okay? How do I illustrate this? When was the last time you were on an airplane? Okay? How many of you realize that when you're on the airplane, they actually teach you a model of service? Okay? What do they say if there's going to be a disaster? What comes down off the oxygen masks? Okay, what did they tell you about the oxygen mask? Do you remember? First you, then, right? Okay, right? Really quick point, because I got to move on. Okay, you will not be able to serve in a healthy manner in your church or in your place of service if you're not healthy at home. Okay, the degree of your service in a healthy way has to do with how healthy you are personally. Okay? Could expand on that tremendously. You just got to trust me on that one. But the fact of the matter is we live in such a busy, complex culture that there are many things that prevent us from serving well because we're not healthy at home. Right? That's a big part of this that we're talking about. So this is the church's dilemma. We want you to serve, but at the same time, there are so many people that we say, you know, you need to be healthy first, because the healthier you are at home, the better you are for serving here, because we don't want to burn you out. You know, we know you're having difficulties. We know you're at a place in your life that, you know, you need to work on this and get healthy again, because the church is not about using you. It's about you using your gifts that God has given you to strengthen the body, but God wants you first and foremost to be healthy yourself, right? Is that okay? All right. Life is demanding. So remember when you're on the airplane next time? Okay, that's an illustration of healthy service.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for a great passage and Lord, some wonderful insights and how important that is for our lives, that God knows us. So, Lord, as we think through these things today, I pray that the challenge will be real for someone here this morning, that they will take to heart the wisdom of God and apply it to their lives. And make the decisions, Lord, that you long for us to make, because you have given us so much to work with. So, Lord, we commit this morning to you. We thank you for each one that is here. And your blessing upon everyone. In Christ's name, amen.